From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we relish yet another win over the Bears and head into the bye week with renewed hope for an unlikely, however improbably, postseason run. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
A.J. Dillon.
We got the bad. We got
Devondre Campbell.
We got the ugly. We got
the Bears. The Bears. They still suck.
All-time winningest team in NFL history, Green Bay Packers. Every time people say the Green Bay Packers, they basically need to say those words. It's like Game of Thrones.
Well, it's kind of almost like, I mean, in a formal setting, one would expect it, right? But now, it's just kind of assumed, right? Mm. You say the Green Bay Packers, you're talking about the team with more wins than anybody else. I mean, it's just assumed.
I think I'm going to change my vocabulary. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to call them from now on until I'm just. Right. I can't say Green Bay Packers. I'm going to have to be like all-time winningest NFL team, Green Bay Packers. I got to figure out the phraseology, but I need to make it a little bit more.
Right. First of your name. I got you.
A little bit more beat-tastic. Yeah.
Well, it just bookends nicely with one more championships than everybody else. You know what I mean? It's like not only have they won more games, they've won more champ. Because everybody can you know how rival fans are. Like, oh, it's just regular season wins. It's like, well, we also have more championships than everybody else. So,
We have the most contested world championships that we didn't win as well. So, there's that.
This is correct. That's correct, sir. That is correct.
Also, the thing that people always miss about this that's the best is the Bears played 34 more games than us.
Had more cracks at the apple.
Still
overtook them.
If we were – okay, so literally it's like you go to your little brother. You're like, you know what? Yeah, go 34 blocks, and then I'll catch up with you in 120 years.
And they'll have a race, right?
110 years from now, I'm going to beat you. But I'll give you 34 blocks. Go for it,
buddy.
Give
me a 34-block head start. I absolutely love it. You know what else I love? I love starting this show with the hotness. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. Let's do it, Nicholas. Time for the hotness. Oh, that's right. That's where we like to start, with the hotness. Because, look, every week there's something to nitpick over, complain about, blah, blah, blah. But we like to begin this show each and every week with something that happened in the previous game that was hot. The hotness, people. And, oftentimes it's a play, usually an offensive play. But this week, I wanted to pick something that really caught my eye that I think maybe a lot of people missed in the heat of the moment. I know I probably did. Corey, we were on the live watch party. It happens right after the Christian Watson TD that everybody's been talking about, the end around. He dives into the end zone. I think we've all seen that a million times, but there's something that happens on the broadcast that was so outstanding. I absolutely love this. Let's roll it, Nicholas. So here you go. You got Watson. We've all seen this, right? 100, like, it's been all over your Twitter feed. You've watched it. You see the leap. Now watch this cut. To Aaron Rodgers. Now watch this cut to Jair. Let's fucking go. That is so great. You talk about high level narrative storytelling from the production. You got Christian Watson scoring the TD. Aaron Rodgers saying, let's go for two. And then you've got the man. The whole reason they're there is because of his interception. And you see his reaction going, let's fucking go. I Love that. That is the hotness, people.
I like it too. Let's carry the G for that one.
We're carrying the G, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's what's hilarious. This carry the G that I'm drinking was sitting on this ledge this entire time. I'm pretty sure Aaron Nagler put this here when he first did training
camp. I don't know
camp.
What you're talking about.
Whenever we first came out with the beer and you decided to put these cans back here, I'm like, I'm rearranging the cans, and I literally am like, wait, there's a full beer here. So like during rehearsal, I put it in the refrigerator, and now I get to drink it. It's great.
You know what's funny is I don't think it happened at camp, but I think you're right. I think I brought it up.
No, it wasn't camp because we didn't have the beer yet. I said that, and right. Then I was like, no, I'm an idiot.
But last time I was there, we did something where I was upstairs. I don't know what program it was for. It might have been a daily while I was in town.
I could see you doing that. I could see you being like, oh, let me put some beers here just in case I needed another one and I don't want to.
I needed beer. Well, I'm not going to get up in the middle of a Packers daily and tell people, I'll be right back.
You hit a real beer in the prop beer. That's hilarious.
Hey, man. Oh, it's levels, baby. Got to have
and
levels
to
these things.
The best part is I found that shit.
And now you're enjoying it. So that's good. You're welcome. You're welcome. I just, you know, I just prefer a thank you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying here. Okay, let's get to the news such as it is. It's always a little light heading into a bye week because there's no injury updates, things of that nature. But there's always some news to talk about, including the Packers becoming the winningest team in league history. That's right. We talked about it already. I don't care. We'll talk about it again.
The chart is incredible because I love those kind of charts that show chart. I love the chart where it shows like the most internet searches by like one company or one URL, and then you see like Google, right. And then you see like all these companies and all the early ones, and like it's incredible to see the Bears 34 game head start on everybody, and finally. Releasing the mantle to their arch rival, the worst person in the history of the Chicago Bears that you can give up this title to. A small ass town up there in the north there. And wow. Kudos to you, Chicago. Kudos to you for sucking as bad as you have over the last 110 years. Because we really appreciate the rivalry. We really appreciate everything you've done for us to make Titletown everything that it is. Thank you.
I love it. Next up, we have David Bakhtiari undergoing an appendectomy on Friday, meaning that Zach Tom had to start the game and probably be the starter for a while here. I'm just happy that Dave's okay. Sounds like Friday was a real crazy day. I did reach out to him after the news broke, and he said it was a really weird fucking day on Friday, you know? But we're glad he's great. It seems like everything's gone well. It's going to be a bit of a recovery. I'll be surprised if we see him again this season, but you never know. Maybe he's right as rain in a few weeks and ready to get back out there for the last couple games, but just happy that he's okay. Then we have Aaron Jones nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Shout out. Look, Aaron Jones is the best of us, right? Like, he's just the best of us. Not only is he great at what he does, he's great on the football field, but he's an absolute dude off the field as well. I love Aaron Jones. I love how he carries the G. I love that he's a Green Bay Packer. And I know everyone's nervous about this offseason with the ability for the Packers to retain him. I hope they figure it out because this guy does it on and off the field. Shout out to Aaron Jones. That's all I got to say about that.
Couldn't agree.
And then finally, Gutekunst speaks, says little, film at 11. Did anyone really think Brian Gutekunst was going to say anything in this press conference?
Well, did they ask him anything tough? I missed it, so I'm going to have to live vicariously through his press conference.
I don't know. Well, I mean, this is the other question. Like, what tough questions are you going to ask? Well, other than the break in the triangle, that's the one question. But no,
see, nobody on the beat loves me. They don't even love me.
No,
I mean.
Don't.
The other thing is, you don't even need me to know that that's the question to ask. Like, I mean, I know he's going to give you a vanilla answer. Like, I don't even know how you ask it, but because like, what I want to...
Well, do you feel that this coaching staff has utilized the talent you handed them at the start of the season? Like, that's, to me, that's the question.
And
right?
There's
because
no
it
way
sure
he answers
feels
that
like
anyway,
they have.
But yes.
No, of course not, but it would have been nice to have the question asked. I will say, shout out to Schneidman, who I thought had a very well-considered and well-asked question regarding Bakhtiari and, you know, the decision on whether to bring him back or let him go prior to having to pay his bonus. I get that. I think that's a legit question. And then there was some stuff about the trade deadline, but what's he going to say? He's like, nah, I ain't giving up a first-round fucking pick for Chase Claypool. I mean, end of discussion, right? It's like the man was had his you know, poker in the fire, so to speak, on a lot of different trades, but he's never going to overpay. That's just not what they do.
Nope.
So, again, I get why some of the questions were asked of why they had to be asked. I'm glad they were asked, but, man, that was such a nothing burger of a press conference, and you knew it would be. You knew it would be. So, now we head into the bye week, and we just wait, and we wait. But now we can talk about this offensive performance in Chicago. Always fun.
It is too bad. I you know, there is something to be said for had we had that bye week after London, you know, how different of
yes,
a team
sir.
This would be.
Yes, sir.
Now that we're in the bye week, I think it's something to look back on, right? Of like, do you wish
totally
you were in the
agree.
Bye week this week, or do you wish you were in the bye week right after London?
And you know what? I want to give kudos to Matt for addressing that a couple weeks ago. You know, and he straight up said, you know, probably, you know, that's going to be a big what if for the rest of my career in regards to that decision. You know, because ultimately that comes down to Matt's making that decision. He's the one who said, no, we're going to play through and we're going to get to a later round, you know, later in the season bye week. I suspect he's thinking, and probably the organization at that point is thinking, yep, we're going to really need that bye week as we're trying to get healthy and make a push for the playoffs. Well, that kind of backfired on them because we all saw what happened. And then to throw on top of it, you know, Rodgers injuring his thumb in that game in London on the very last play only compounds it. Right, the fact that he got no time off, he's been playing with a busted digit for 5, 6, 7 weeks, you know, that's a big component to this year. And when you do the postmortem on it, that decision really doesn't look good. It does not
well
work.
And
but at
and,
least
you
like
know
I said,
truth
Matt
be told it. Truth be told, like, it's the first time the organization has ever done an international game. I think people think
right.
like, hey, when you get a chartered flight, it's a lot easier. And I will argue that you are 100% right. It is easier, but it's still a 5-6 hour flight. You still have your entire circadian rhythm thrown off. You have all these kind of like bodily things that are
rhythm. Look at you. Nice. That's a
I mean,
point.
You do. It's a real thing, right?
I know.
So it's like,
I am
and
aware.
Then,
I know.
Like, and then you have this basically 12-hour travel period, you know, when you double the two periods that you have to deal with. I think, you know, yeah, looking forward, I think, you know, if we have an international game, we really got to take that bye after the international game. Like, that's just the way it's got to go down, you know?
I agree with that, and I think they should also go out earlier in the week. But we've talked about this before. Like,
yeah,
I think the whole approach has to change.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing, right? If you take the bye week after international, you go earlier so you get more acclimated, and then you've got all the time in the world to come back, and you've got nothing forcing you. So that gives your guys time to get back into North American time and back into the rhythm of North America.
Yep. Totally agree. So we'll see. I mean, again, it's a learning experience. It just sucks that it happened the way it did because, goddamn, that whole weekend was fucking amazing. Right up until they went 3-and-out after that 8-minute drive by the Giants. God damn it! That whole sequence still bugs the shit out of me. All right, I'm back.
I mean, there was also the 3rd-and-1 where they decided to throw, but
yeah, I know. But here we go. Let's look at the offense from Sunday, shall we? Which, by the way, you know, it was rough going there for a while. I mean, they barely got to double digits at the end of the first half. I mean, they were sitting at 3 points. Right before halftime, and then finally Rodgers finds Watson for that touchdown. But, man, it was hard to watch at times. But I will say, the offensive line got it done. And that includes a rookie left tackle who didn't know he was the starter until Friday. So,
wow.
Shout out not only to Zach Tom, but shout out to the whole offensive line because there were plenty of plays in that game where Aaron Rodgers had all day in the pocket.
Oh, my God.
And by his own admission, you know, I think it was after the game where he talked about, I didn't get touched. You know, I mean, he wasn't sacked, was barely harassed. The offensive line absolutely stepped up.
I know everybody wants to see my notes, so these are my only notes for the game. To see what I contributed. Packer transplants, offensive line. Wow. There you go. So there you go.
That's the high-level analysis you come to Packer transplants for, people.
The funny thing is that Nagler is the one who writes the script, but we're always aligned with usually like
There's
anytime I write,
something.
We're always, I'm like, you had offensive line first, I had offensive line.
If it compels you to write it down, it's usually in the script.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We arrive there separately, but we see the same thing, no doubt.
The disconnect in the triangle wasn't there, but we've been talking about it all season, so you didn't know that that was going to come.
No, but I didn't that day, but I talked about it. I literally mentioned it on Twitter like weeks earlier.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
That was something you and I both arrived at again. You know, it's like, yeah, we're in lockstep. No doubt about it. Can we talk about Christian Watson? I think we kind of have to. We're contractually obligated as a Packers podcast to say this kid changes everything. I mean, he changes things on the offensive side of the ball. He changes things for defensive coordinators and how they approach the Green Bay Packers offense. He just changes every equation when it comes to the Green Bay Packers on and how they play offense. I mean, I love that they're not force-feeding this kid the ball, and I loved Matt being asked Monday, do you need to get Christian the ball more? And Matt literally snapped back with, yeah, and then it'll go back to Aaron Jones needs to get the ball more. Like, never let it be said that Matt LaFleur doesn't know what the hell is being said on Twitter.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows. He's well aware. But
I mean, truth be told, Aaron Jones should have gotten the ball more in every game this season, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. But hey, on Friday,
there isn't
a
game this season.
He's banged up. He's banged up on
Sunday. No, I understand. So I understand. But I'm just saying, like, is there a game? I'm going to say no to this question I'm asking, though. Is there a game this season where Aaron Jones is healthy and you feel like he got enough touches? I'm going to say no. There isn't a game this season.
Nope. Maybe the Cowboys game.
Maybe.
But that's about it.
Still a maybe, though.
That's about it. How about A.J. Dillon? How about A.J. Dillon trucking fools? How about A.J. Dillon getting in the end zone? And I loved his response to Rock on the Packers.com video when he just said, you know, I just stopped thinking so much. And he said he talked to some of his teammates. He talked to his wife. He talked to, you know, a bunch of people about his play. And these last couple weeks, he's really just kind of brought it. And he said, you know, I was thinking too much. I was trying to play a perfect game. I love that that's an admission. And I do wonder, I kind of talked about this with Andy on Monday, but like, I do wonder how much of that permeates throughout the offensive side of the ball. Coming out of camp, you've got a whole new cast of characters, right? Even the guys who've been there for a long time. It's a whole, you know, things are going to be different without Devontae. The whole narrative this summer, this offseason was about how is the Packers offense going to adjust. I do wonder how much was guys just being like, oh, I got to be perfect. I got to get the right adjustment. I got to make the right cut. I got to make the right, you know what I mean? Like, rather than playing free, playing loose, and just letting it go. You know what I mean?
And, you know, people are going to beat up on me, but you got a QB1 who's not necessarily the best leader on the team, you know, making people feel a little bit more comfortable, like doing what they need to do.
Leader, I think, is a matter of perspective. I don't think you expect a guy to change his leadership style 17 years into his career, right?
True.
So, but I hear what you're
saying.
You
know, I will say that, though, but as a small business owner, we are expected to pivot immediately.
You do. Yeah, you have to.
So, like, real leaders, they do pivot, by the way.
I get you. Let's look at the defense. Let's look at the boys up front, specifically one, and his name is Kenny Clark. It's December. Here comes Kenny Clark. I just love how the moment the calendar flips, so does Kenny's play. And I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why he was so kind of MIA for the month of November. But it just seems every single fucking year, the calendar hits December, the flip, the switch, it happens. Like, Kenny was so active and just absolutely disruptive on Sunday. Like, look, I'm not talking, he's not J.J. Watt in his prime or anything, but he had a good game. He had a good game on Sunday. And it's the best game he's played in like over a month. I don't know what it is. And this always happens. He always hits a lull in his season. Maybe not to the extent that we saw this year, but he does like tend to find a stretch where, oh, he's not as productive, doesn't really flash as much. And then December hits and it's on. And I'm telling you, it was on against the Bears. I love it. I hope we see more of it coming out of the bye.
We need to see
after
more of
it.
It's not even like
absolutely
a hope thing. Like it's
no,
a
I
need
know
thing at this
they
point.
Need it. They need it. No, no doubt.
We need but we
I
need
love
him
it
and Quay Walker it and Jair, and then we're good.
Everybody. And Devondre. Everybody. Absolutely. No question about it. Speaking of Jair, Jair Alexander can talk all he wants. I'm so over people on Twitter being like, oh, he needs to be quiet. He needs to act like he's been there before. He needs to stop chirping. What are you talking about?
It's also what
this
he
man.
Does.
This man, exactly, Corey. It's who he is.
It's who he's always
one
been
of the
since he literally got here.
He's
first
good
day of training
is
camp
because he's so confident. He loves like the rising to the challenge. Has he been beat a few more times than we're used to this season? Absolutely. No question.
I don't
about
know
it
about that. I think he was beat more times in that game, but I don't know that he's been beat more times this season than we're used to.
Oh no, I think a few more times. A few more times than years previous. I will put that up. I'll put that up there, no doubt. But I also love that he talks. You know? If there's one guy on the defensive side of the ball who I don't care what he says or how much he chirps, it's Jair Alexander.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Because this guy can back it up. And he did on Sunday.
Well,
with that interception to essentially seal the game.
Well, the thing for me that changes it is like his motor is nonstop. It does not going to
exactly
matter. Like he's one guy on the defense where we could literally be where the Bears are right now, and he'd still be the
he'd still
giving
be bringing
the same
it
shit.
That's the thing.
It's not changing
the confidence.
Nothing.
The confidence this kid has, where it's like, I don't care that I just got beat. I'm going to come back this next play and kick your ass.
And you have to be that position.
You, me, like any mortal, I get beat as bad as he got beat by EQ on that play early in the game, and I am done. I am toast. It's
bro
over. Forget about it.
Bro, I get in my head if you look at me wrong during watch party, okay?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Does Aaron hate me?
Is Aaron mad at me? Exactly. This is my point. But this guy gets toasted like in front of like 80,000 people and God knows how many more watching on television. And he's just like, all right, I still own you. You, let's go. Next play, let's do it.
Well, I love
like
that he called EQ a scrub too. That's
scrub
just like, oh my God. That's
oh
some
God
that's some shit I do. That's like not
yep
even
no, but just the fact that, like, you talk about the quintessential cornerback mentality. Like, the game is completely rigged if you're a corner. Like, it is rigged. It is completely
it really
set
is
up for you to fail. Like, yep, no, the way the NFL has gone with all the rule changes and everything they've placed to give the offense the advantage, it is completely a rigged game that you are playing. And Jair don't give a fuck. I love it. I love his attitude. So he can talk all he wants. Talk your shit, man. I love it. Finally, on the defensive side of the ball, did Devontae Wyatt park in Joe Barry's spot? Like, what happened? How is this kid not able to get on the field more? Like, does he have, like, compromising pictures or something? Like, did something happen? Like, I'm so
maybe
confused.
Maybe this is a dit. Maybe this is a dit.
How do you mean?
A disconnect in the triangle.
Ooh, I just, like, to me, has he been up and down at times? Sure. I mean, he had a pretty rough game against Philadelphia, but it is the best offensive line in the fucking league. So, yeah, okay, the rookie kind of struggled there. But he played pretty damn well in Chicago, but he only played 9 snaps. We're sending out Jerron Reed, we're sending out Dean Lowry, and we're still giving up 400 fucking yards a game.
Why is Dean Lowry still on our team? I don't understand. Can someone explain this to me?
I don't mind Dean Lowry being on the team as a rotational guy. But he's the starting and playing as much as he's playing makes no sense to me. Especially in a stretch where you're giving up 400-plus yards every single Sunday. That's what's befuddling to me. If we're going to give up 400 yards, I would rather have the young guy rookie out there learning and developing then some yeah has done what he's going to do in the league. Jerron Reed, like, just taking snaps, and I think Jerron Reed was a fine signing. I think he's been okay this year, but like, give me the rookie who needs to develop. The only way he's going to get better is if you play him. I'm just over it. I just don't know. I don't. Like, I mean, did he spark in Joe Barry's spot? That's the only explanation.
Okay, maybe
I can offer at this point.
Maybe he's not playing him because he's spiteful because he thinks the Packers are going to fire him this year.
I don't think that's it.
I don't either.
I don't think.
But
that's
I think
it.
It's funny. I think it would be funny if he. But you're right.
Hey, there are straws to be grasped at here, right? So why not?
I mean, because there's we don't know why. So
there's no logical reason. So we got to come up with shit like this. This is my point. Like, I don't know. Like, did he try to sabotage Packers.com? Did he like tell Wes that Packers Unscripted was going to be at 4 p.m. and it was actually going to be at 2 p.m.? Like, I don't know. What did this kid do? Who did he upset? I need to know. We need a Packers investigation.
Yeah, maybe he's on the enemies list, like Cheesehead TV for 1265.
Probably.
Maybe he's on the 1265,
Wait. No chance. Like, we are on a very, how in Casino when De Niro's talking to Pesci about, you get in that black book and you're done, you're blacklisted for life, and there's only two people in the book, Joe Pesci.
We're number one.
And Al Capone, we are the only people in that book.
There's no one else. There's no one else.
Nobody else blacklisted like we are. No question about
it. It's true.
All right, let's go. Let's get going, Nicholas.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, you know how on this program, back in the day, we used to book guests? You remember that? Remember when we used to have guests almost?
Oh, when are we getting Coach on? Are we getting Coach on soon? Speaking of guests.
That's a whole can of worms right there, sir. I'm
ready for third year of Coach.
I'm ready too. I'm not so sure Coach is ready. That's all I'm going to say about that. So you can come on when you're winning, but not when you're losing. Interesting. Okay. Very good. We'll discuss this further.
The bye week, maybe next week. The bye week seems like a good time for him to come on.
That's it. You know what's funny?
He knows I'm not going to ask him any harsh questions. No one's going to ask him any harsh questions.
No. Nobody. Well, I mean, they have been losing a lot, so... But no, you remember? We used to book guests every week. We used to do it, and we would have players, we'd have Coach, we'd have whoever, right? And then every once in a while, we would get Larravied, right? Like way back in the day when we'd be expecting someone to call and they don't call, and we're just sitting there waiting and they'd never show up.
Yeah.
You know what? The stars, they're just like us, because this is what happened to Pat McAfee this week. Aaron Rodgers didn't show up for Aaron Rodgers Tuesday. I love this. This is a bit long. It's just a little under 2 minutes, but I love all of this. The play it, Nicholas.
What had happened was I said, be a friend, tell a friend. Aaron Rodgers is in 5 minutes. Uh-huh. Take pipe. That's what happened. Okay? So then I think a friend told a friend, and a friend then told somebody that then told Aaron, because I got a text from Aaron. It goes, hey, I'm on a plane right now. Spotty service. I don't think I'm going to be able to. Guess we should. It's bye week or whatever. And immediately I go, I've just lied to everybody.
Yeah. What's the?
Now I'm Billy McFarland, basically.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't know the truth, you didn't lie.
Yeah, it's first bye week.
Oh. Supposed to clap.
That was
that
your
one.
Truth.
Supposed to clap for that one. Hey, you're in your bag early.
Yeah.
You're in the bag early. Yeah. That was a bar. That was a bar right there. That's unbelievable. Yeah, you're right. What Tone said. Mm-hmm. And listen, Tone has probably used that before to get himself out of the situation.
I have.
But I would like to let everybody know. I thought he was coming on. That's on me. I should have been a better host. I should have been a better facilitator of this entire thing. I should have reached out and said, hey, you're on a bye week. Obviously not coming on Tuesday. Probably should have done that yesterday maybe and got a heads up. I apologize to everybody that we lied to.
Yeah, it's the first bye week, though, since the start of Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays that he actually has had a real bye week. So 100% of the time before today.
He wasn't allowed to go anywhere.
He's been on the show during his bye week. Yeah, he hasn't been allowed.
That's a good point.
Because he was immunized, but with his status in other people's eyes, he was not allowed to go anywhere or leave because he had to be subject to testing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's why this happened.
Exactly. That was my first thought. Well, in the past, has he missed? Because no, he's been on the show talking about how awesome it is that they're doing so well.
All right, so we do apologize, but we didn't know.
No one saw this one coming.
Hey, have a great bye week, Aaron. Hey.
I just love that this show that has all this money behind it literally just doesn't have a booking producer. Like, they didn't have someone connect with Aaron and be like, hey, are you guys, you're coming on.
Yeah, that
tomorrow,
show like makes right? $1 million a day. Something
they have
crazy.
300,000 viewers like every week when Aaron's on. 300,000 plus. And they didn't think to say, hey, man, you coming on?
That reminds me of that time where Ann Gert was supposed to come on, and then we kept trying to call her, but it was busy. But it was busy, and she doesn't have call waiting because she was on the phone every I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. She has her social network bridge call, so basically, like, everybody gets on the phone and talks to each other on the phone. It's like pre-Zoom social networking. And so it was busy. I'm it's busy. She Larravita. She was the actually original Larravita.
She totally.
I think.
She Larravita us. I'll never forget when we were doing Carry the G with AJ last year. There was a week where we had it all. We did it every Monday, and I came in from Queens to the studio, and I'm literally. We had done sound check. We had done all the checks. We had the people all set up for the panel, and then his agent texted me and was like, "Oh yeah, AJ can't make it tonight."
Okay, great.
Thanks, awesome. Coach. Appreciate
it. Love it. I love it. So, you know, the stars, they're just like us. I also wanted to give a shout out to Dara here for his article over at 24/7 Sports. This is a great thought. I love this. He highlights Marquand Manuel, who obviously a former Packer, who has been, you know, he's bounced around the league a little bit as a coach now. He's been with the Legion of Boom. He was with the Falcons. He's a guy who I haven't heard his name at all when people are talking about the potential Packers defensive coordinator opening, right? Like, we, you know, we got a long way to go on that. Who knows if Joe Barry's back next year or not? But I love this idea. This is some, you know, not following the herd. We're not talking about Jim fucking Leonard for the 1 billionth time. Like, this is a real kind of idea here. And I just wanted to say, make sure you check out this article, because he put some great points out there over at 247sports.com. Check it out. Dara always does good stuff, but this was particularly great. I'm all in on that.
I don't see Matt LaFleur firing Joe Barry this year. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I'm right there with you, man.
Because
You never know.
I know, but from a business standpoint, I'm just going to say this, and I know I probably said this last Packer transplants because I think we talked about it. From a business standpoint for Matt LaFleur, it doesn't really make sense strategically because he gets that extra year. Unless there is something fundamental to Matt LaFleur that Joe Barry did that is bad, right? Which I don't know, right? I'm not privy to, right? So if Barry did something to fundamentally piss off Matt LaFleur or make it where there's like this fundamental thing that like he's not going to win games as a defensive coordinator, I just think like if you're Matt LaFleur, if you change your guy now and then the guy who gets there, you only get 2 years. If you don't change your guy, you're guaranteed 3 years.
I hear what you're saying, but like the fundamental part of like, oh, there's something fundamentally that I don't think we're going to win. I mean, giving up 400 yards like 3 weeks, 4 weeks in a row, that might do it.
Right, but here's the thing about that, as you know and I know, right? It's like Matt LaFleur has a unique insight to why those things happen, right?
Right, 100%.
So, I know myself as a business owner, right? Other people on the outside, they're like, oh my God, you guys did this thing, and you did this thing, and you messed up this thing, and you did this, and it's like, you look at it, and you go, wait a second, from everybody's point of view, if I'm looking at it holistically and objectively, I could look and be like, oh, well, that guy was injured. This was injured. This was happening. I didn't give him the right tools to do this. I didn't give him the right resources to do this. And it wasn't fundamentally like a thing on him, right? We see it as a thing because what we see is, oh, you're responsible. So you're the one that's held responsible. But Matt gets to see things where he's like, hey, you're responsible, to the public and in theory, but I'm seeing all the different things that we did or did not give you to make your job happen.
They did give him a lot, though. I will say that. I mean, I understand.
Again, that goes to the disconnect in the triangle where...
It does indeed. It does indeed.
And if Matt, here's the thing. If there's a disconnect in the triangle, Now Matt can look at Goody and even Joe, right? So if Joe's his buddy, he's like, Joe, they were supposed to give us 6-5 corners, but they gave us blah, blah, blah. They were supposed to give us this, but so they didn't give us what we needed, Joe, because there's a disconnect in the triangle.
This is every time you say the disconnect in the triangle, thanks to shout out to Tyler, because now all I hear is like the X-Files theme because of that video you did.
So I should do that. 100%, like, disconnect in the triangle.
100%. Like 100%. No question. I love it. I love it so much. Finally, I did want to give a shout out to this Twitter account, Packers Update. Corey, you know the old school. It's been on the internet forever, how it started, how it's going. Like, this has been a kind of a narrative theme.
I love these.
On the internet. Yeah, how it started, how it's going. You can show two pictures, whatever. I think this kid's name is Josh. He put this up there. This is the Christian Watson version of how it started, how it's going. That's phenomenal. That is great. Starting with the picture of the drop in Minnesota in week one, and then the picture of Watson crossing the goal line in Chicago, arms outstretched in the air in Soldier Field. That's,
I mean, to be fair,
that's a perfect tweet.
To be fair, if you watch Packer Transplant's watch party after he drops that ball, you and I literally discuss, like, what, you know, fast forward, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's
100%. Yes. No.
Also, that is how it's going for Christian Watson, which I totally am happy for, but that is not 100% how it's going for the Packers right now. I would say it's
we're not
but soaring into the air with a touchdown.
Yeah. No, but it's about Christian Watson. It's about Watson. I love it. I like it.
I mean, I'm jumping into the air for beating the Bears, but I'm not soaring into the air where we are.
I'm just saying, I love that, you know, because you're not on the internet as much as I am. You're especially not on Twitter as much as I am. I have seen so much shit talked about this kid in regards, oh, he's a bust, he's this or he's that. Man, to see him come out and just fucking turn it around and explode onto the scene and just be a complete phenom here in this last 4 weeks or so. I just love it. I just love it. Because what do we always talk about? Like, you got to let it play out. It's a long season. But people are, it's a long career. I mean, he was a nanosecond into his professional career and people are talking about how he's a bust. It's like,
it
drives me insane. And so it's so great to see him on the come up, so to speak.
I do think it's kind of funny, though, that, like, the journey that we've taken since pre-camp into where we are right now, where we're just, like, we've already, like, succumbed to the fact that we're not going to fuck. Like, there's a very, very small chance that we're going to make the playoffs. We've literally gone through that entire journey after making a historic run the last, you know, decade of our lives. It's pretty incredible, actually. Like, we are on the cusp. Like, it might not be this year, but we are in the beginning of the end of the beginning for the Green Bay Packers, and hopefully this renewal that we're going into is something to look forward to, because I'm into that.
You know what I'm into? YouTube comments and super chats, of which I think we have a few.
I got some. We got a super chat. Dave Spoon has been talking on his podcast like it is a foregone conclusion AR is traded. Others on beat are saying he's untradeable. Weird times.
Yeah, I've noticed that about Spoon as well. I got to admit, that does kind of surprise me, just because I don't see it. I really don't see it. I think they committed to Aaron for 2 years. They're going to play him another year. Like, I don't get that at all. But hey, Tom's forgotten more about this shit than we'll ever know. I love Spoon. I think he's great. Do I keep open the possibility that Aaron gets traded? Nothing would surprise me at this point, right? If I woke up and saw an alert after the season, whatever, heading into the new league year, that Aaron Rodgers has been traded to XYZ, I'd be like, oh, wow, they really did it. But I'm not going to be shocked, right? But I still think there's a very, 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 very good chance that he's the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers in 2023. You know, that's where I'm
at. I think you're right. When you really look at it, I think you're right. I think he will be back and Joe Barry will be back and we will
do this all again.
We'll try to build our disconnect. Haley Wolasek, I had to shout it out because I love this. Not the QB who skipped OTAs. I will love this. Thanks, Haley.
Hell, oh, come on. Are we doing the skipping OTA stuff now?
No, but she's responding. To be fair, she's responding to my leadership comment or lack thereof with guys when AJ Dillon's trying to be perfect. And it does go to, if you show up for OTAs, here's one thing that OTAs will do for you, right? Is you will have a chance to talk to the newest players for the Green Bay Packers. That's one thing you can do at OTAs, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can also talk to them on the phone. You can text them. You can FaceTime them.
Yeah, but there's an opportunity. There's like, here's a chance for us to all be come on, dude. Like, last night we went to a holiday party in a Schwabenon, and I hung out with Nicholas, who's producing this feed, and I hung out with my director of remote production, Jeremy, and we hung out, and we went to a holiday party at Next VR, which is this awesome, like, VR arcade in a Schwabenon. So shout out to those guys and Creative Edge. And we did something we can't do on Zoom. We just hung out. We watched improv. It was fun. Like, it was cool. So, like,
you never do that when you're in New York with me, though. That's interesting. You're hanging
really
out with Jeremy
like...
and Nicholas, but
thing is,
we don't hang out. I get it.
I don't really like you that
you
much.
You don't really
so
like me.
There's that. Andrew Ware, thanks for the super chat.
I knew that
I'm
was
a...
coming.
I'm set myself. I mean, you set it up, bro. I'm a massive UGA fan. Opened the mailbox to the Walker jersey my wife got me for Christmas, even though we said no gifts because of the new baby. 2%, never tell me the odds. Let's fucking go. Is it 2% or 4%?
No, it's up to 4. Here's the thing.
I think it's 4%.
It's 4 point whatever if you go by ESPN. But if you go by Football Outsiders, it's up to 11%. Let's go.
11%?
That's
Get the
what I'm
fuck
talking
out of
about.
Here.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you say 11%?
11%. 11%.
Wow. Let's go, people.
Wow, that is intense, bro. 11%. Mm-hmm. That's like better than the S&P 500, bro. Come on. here we go. Johnny Rivers. Women have been larrying me my entire life. Thanks for the super chat. Thanks for a little bit of TMI, bro. A little bit of TMI. Bucky Boy, thanks for Super Chat. Bye week, rest up, carry the G, run the table, Super Bowl. Wow,
there
Bucky. I like where you're going with that.
Bucky
Dave.
Got carried away by the 11%.
Bucky was, yeah, he's like, eh. What are the odds that on a plane equals just drank some ayahuasca tea? Oh, dear. Yes. Oh, it's likely. Likely. Johnny Rivers, we ask for Marquand Manuel and we'll get Mark Roman. I just thought that was funny because it's so true. Like, we'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get a new defensive coordinator. We got Dom Capers. That's what will happen.
It's so Dom,
it'll be
isn't he like a 40... special assistant in Detroit at this point? Like,
there will be like a
he's still out there.
There will be like a 48-hour period where we're like so excited about the new defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, and it'll be Sean Payton. It'll just be like someone we're just like great.
Wonderful. It'll be like such a letdown.
Johnny Rivers, thanks for Super Chat. Barry got all the tools. He can't read blueprints.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. I mean, the idea that, you know, he was supposed to run a certain style / scheme comes from the head coach. That's all I'm saying about that.
Kevin McConville. Barry won't play Wyatt because 12 sat with him at lunch during training camp instead of Barry, and now he's jealous. That's one
theory. Now it all makes sense. See? That's as good as the Diddy Park in his spot theory. I mean, it's got to be something, right?
Yeah, something. Ryan Willie, does Rodgers play if they're knocked out by the Rams game? It's up to Rodgers.
I suspect he does, yes.
It's up to him, though. At the end of the day, with Aaron Rodgers, I was laughing too hard and got a little condensation on my glasses. at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers... You know, I explained this to someone. I've explained this to many people.
To many people.
When you make more than all of the employees at 1265 combined, not the players combined, but all of the employees of 1265 plus Goody plus Mark plus Matt, You the face. You're it. You decide. That's all I got.
That's probably true. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, the Packers put themselves in this unhealthy position, by the way. They chose it.
Am I saying ayahuasca wrong? Somebody said, Aaron says, Corey's saying ayahuasca sounds like town in northern Wisconsin.
You said it absolutely correctly.
That's what I thought. Andrew Below. I'm sorry if I fucked up your last name. I didn't wash my foot in the shower just to show myself what 4% was. Hey, I liked that. I saw that chat and I was like, that's good shit. Because it's kind of like, it's appropriate. You know? It's like, what is 4%? What are the odds here? But now we're talking 11%. So I think, basically, I think you have to not wash your foot all the way probably up to your thigh, like one quad. And then I think that's amazing. Probably like 11%.
Amazing.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
Anton Jackson TV. Thanks for the super chat. Did Bill Schrader really run a 4.26 40-yard dash?
Was it 4.26? I remember, like, White Boy was fast, but no. Was it 4.2? No.
I don't know, but bro, there's this thing called
Google. I can't remember a 4.26. Maybe, but I doubt it.
Soaring Eagle, watching you boys from my patio with my dad in SoCal while drinking a Carry the G. Cheers, Soaring Eagle. Appreciate
What's
you and your
like?
Dad.
Drinking Nadler. A Carry the G outside of Wisconsin? That must be great.
What's that like? I don't know. James Corbett, how do I join the Carry the G Club? Nagler?
You got to visit youtube.com. Visit the Cheesehead TV channel on the desktop version. Doesn't work on mobile. Only on desktop. And that's not us. That's YouTube being YouTube. Go to the desktop version of YouTube. Go to Cheesehead TV and basically any page, whether it's the home page, any of the video pages, you'll see a join button. Just hit join. It'll ask for $4.99 of your money every month for the next 400 years. Join the Carry the G Club. You get access to, you know, special emojis here in the chat. You get access to our weekly happy hour. And you support Cheesehead TV and everything we do, not just on the YouTube channel, but the entirety of the brand. And we greatly appreciate it. So that's how you join.
That's all I got. I thought that was a nice transition. 4.26 is right, according to our producer.
Right.
For
Billy Schrader.
Billy Schrader.
Cow.
That's crazy.
There you go. I mean, he was kind of like the Travis Jervey of wide receivers. Like, he could run really fast straight. But when it came to, like, having to wiggle a little bit.
You know what? We should give people a little nugget into the BTS. You brought up Travis Jervey. We learned something, Nagler and I, in our rehearsal, in between our rehearsal and while we were waiting for you fine folks to go live. So here in the sunroom of where I am right now, where we do watch party on home games, I call the did not qualify stairwell. And so it's devoted to teams that did not ever qualify for the playoffs. So more than likely the 2023 Green Bay Packers. what's pretty incredible is I have 1970, 71, 72, and 73 posters, broadsides. And I was literally like, I'm doing the rehearsal with Nagler and I'm looking and I'm like, who's number 6? Because of the way this photo is, he's really number 16. And, you know, I was born in the 70s, but not in 72. I was not born yet. And Nagler and I literally went through together, and we looked through Scott Hunter, who in 1972 actually won the division for the Packers, replaced Bart Starr.
73.
Oh, 73.
Yeah. He replaced Starr in 72. But, like, yeah, he led him to a division championship. It's crazy.
Crazy. Did not know. 3 years before I was born. And
then they sign him to an extension in 74 in May and then trade him in July because he's part of the strike in 74. It's nuts. It's nuts.
So
actually, you might be right. It might be 72. You might be right for the – I can't remember the
team. I think I am.
The divisional title was 72. I think you're right there. Yeah.
I think I'm right, but I normally am. So Dustin Schuett with two super chats. Dustin, go Pack, go. Bears still suck. Pappies, thank you, Dustin. And Dustin, this is the Travis Jervey of super chats, deceptively fast. Thanks for the super chat. Appreciate that. I think that's going to be it for us here. I think here we go.
Let's give a shout-out to our Patreon members.
Green Bay Packers
1972. Shout-out to our Patreon members.
Shout-out.
You guys – You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do, and you've been there like OGs since the start of the pandemic, really, is when we were like, oh, we should kind of keep meeting and keep hanging out. And that's what Patreon members have done since then. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for the support. And as we just discussed, someone asking about the Carry the G Club. Carry the G, the club here on YouTube. Thank you so much for the support. Both Patreon members and Carry the G Club members, information about our meetup prior to the Rams game is on the respective pages. It's on the community page there here on YouTube. It's on the Patreon page. Last year's meetup was a lot of fun. Hope to see you all there this year. You got anything else for us, Corey, before we head out?
Nope. We'll be back next week, people. We'll be back talking about the game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, here's what's crazy. Right. Next week, okay, honestly, I know we didn't say this, but like, dude, once we get into Wednesday, so Wednesday night, the UWGB women's team plays Madison, okay? So they play.
Oh, here we go.
They play Madison Wednesday night. Thursday night, my entire family comes for the game for Monday night. Then we do all Christmas holiday parties all through the weekend. Dude, it is going to be crazy. Green Bay, like, the place to be next week is in Green Bay. And not only that, we got Patreon meetup. So if you're a Patreon member,
right,
or Carry the G member, we got a Cheesehead TV Patreon meetup. We got the Resch Center. It's one of the last home games before the year, the new year begins. It is the last home game technically before the new year begins, but it is the home game of all home games. And so if you ever thought of coming to Green Bay, this is the time. Like, this is it.
Yeah,
this
shout out to the Plaza Pit Stop 3 hours before kickoff. We'll talk about it next week as well. But
yeah, we will.
Come on out. The Plaza Pit Stop at the Resch Center 3 hours before kickoff on Monday night. Corey and I both will be there. We'll be drinking some Carry the G. We hope to see everybody. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.